I'm Adam Blattenberg from Diesel World.
Hi, this is Dan, owner of Dan's Diesel Performance.
I'm Christian Roth of BD Diesel.
I'm Braden Fleece, and you're listening to the Diesel Podcast.
What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. Today, I'm going to be chatting with Justin Ziegler from Ziegler Diesel Performance. He just won UCC, the truck you probably saw it all over social media with, making 3,300 horsepower, the brakes on fire. It was an incredible performance. So we're going to chat with him about that. And then also, we've gotten a lot of questions about building a 5.9 to like that 550, 600, maybe a little bit over 600 horsepower mark, something that you're going to tow with daily drive, not necessarily in the market to buy a new truck. You just want to take this 03 to 07, make it more competitive with, you know, the power level, have it be reliable. So I'm going to ask him, what are we going to do for the transmission? If we have a manual, you know, what are we going to do for the clutch, air, fuel, engine work, intercooler, suspension, fuel system? So he's going to go through all that with us and answer those questions. Before we get to it, though, I want to let you guys know we have a discount code for Kershaw Knives. It's 20% off site-wide. All you got to do is enter code DIESEL20 at kershaw.kiausa.com. Anything's eligible on there. So they got tons of things for EDC, fishing, hunting, outdoors, you know, anything in between. So we appreciate them offering that for our listeners. And it's a great way to take advantage, save some money before we head into hunting season. You know, summer's still going on, so we're still fishing, all that sort of stuff. So make sure you take advantage of that. Also, if you're listening to this podcast and you found us on YouTube, you don't subscribe, make sure you click the subscribe button, turn on the notifications. Each week we're releasing new episodes to focus on Cummins, Duramax, Powerstroke. If there's questions you guys have, maybe I didn't ask the right question or didn't go as far as I should have on a particular build, comment on YouTube. Let us know. We check those all the time, and we appreciate all the feedback, suggestions, you know, for guests and episodes and things like that. So we love to see what you guys want to hear, and make this podcast your podcast. All right, let's get to today's episode with Justin and chatting about his UCC win and then also how we're going to build this 5.9 Cummins. Justin, welcome to the Diesel Podcast. I'm excited to have you on to be able to chat, one, about an awesome UCC win with a huge power number that was incredible to see, and also chat a little bit more about, you know, 5.9 Cummins and just building a truck. So I know we'll have a great conversation, and I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We had done an episode a long time ago, I think it was 2018, with a truck that you had, and you were doing King of the Street Challenge, and I was thinking back towards that episode to over 3,300 horsepower now. That's a huge progression in 4 years. You know, so I wanted to ask you a bit about putting this truck together for UCC this year. And like, was that a specific power number you had in mind? Did you know the truck could make that kind of power? Or was, you know, some of it a little bit of a surprise?
Well, we knew last year at UCC when that engine turbo setup was in the quad cab, we knew it could do north of 3,000. With everything we had kind of ran through with what it was capable of, we thought it would be in that, you know, close to 3,500 range. So last year we didn't get the chance to really turn it up and, you know, pour the nitrous to it because we had to sled pull. So we're third or fourth to last year. So we were kind of like, yeah, let's be conservative. There hasn't been any real big numbers. Let's go up here, make 2,500 horse, and that should put us on the top and ride it out for Sunday. So going into this year, we decided that we would keep that engine and turbo setup just for the dyno. On the drag strip, we run a completely different turbo setup. Switch over to a Bosch standalone ECM and, you know, in the new regular cab truck. And we were gonna throw it all at it, see what would stick. We did a bunch of testing tire-wise and stuff like that to find something that would really grab the roller. So we swung for it, and it stuck.
And do you feel the pressure now that, you know, UCC's over? You had the truck performed as it did. There's so many views, and, you know, everyone knows about the power numbers. You know, we all saw a dyno. So do you feel the pressure, you know, because time goes by so fast, so next year will be upon us and it'll be another, you know, race season. How's that a little bit different than, say, before, where you held the truck back a little bit in 2021 versus now going all out and setting the bar as high as you did?
I don't know. I really don't get caught up in the pressure of it. You know, we always, as a team, we get together before we do big events like this, and And that's one thing that we always talk about is it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing, what everybody else is shooting for. That doesn't matter. We're there to do what we came to do. And at the end of the day, we'll see where it is when the dust settles. Going into this year, we'll see if, what do I have more to prove? So I don't know if we're going to do it or not. If we do, I'm going to chase my own dyno number. I think that number could stand for quite a long time. And with the data we received off of that dyno pool, the things that we learned, all the things we found we tore up doing it, parts that nobody has ever hurt before. If we can get it to harness it a little bit better, we should be able to put, considerably more up if the tire will hold.
So the competition would really be, with yourself, I guess, in a sense to say, is there anything else that I could do different? Do I think I could, maybe push this a little farther? Instead of necessarily looking out over the landscape of diesel racing and performance and saying, what's this person doing or that team doing? It's really probably more so, looking at your team, the companies that you work with and saying, is there anything more that is out there for us to achieve or change or, get that number or the performance a little farther?
Well, we were already making moves yesterday. So we were, I spent the day down at Firepunk, just studying some converter stuff and doing some talking with Lynn down there. And, he was talking with Neil Chance, and we're going to be testing a new converter here when we bring the truck back out at Scheid, hopefully going straight and going fast like it should. And if it does the changes we think it'll do, we should be a contender in Pro Street, as well as be able to actually get a hold of, more power. Cause we had, according to the data, a little over 48% converter slip on that dyno pool from 3000 RPM to 5200. We had about 48% converter slip.
I know that, when I was watching a lot of feedback on like Facebook and Instagram and lots of posts when the event was going on, a lot of Cummins owners, they'll say, hey, I just saw Justin, do this with his truck. I just saw it perform this way. I just want to build like a 550, 600 horse 5.9. If he's at 3,300, he knows how to get to 550, 600. And I've had a lot of listeners ask that question to us, to say, hey, who can you chat with to kind of just give me a general overview of what I should do? So I wanted to ask you, if somebody's got an 03 to 07 5.9, and it's, a truck that they don't necessarily want to go out and buy a new one. They just want something that's a little bit more competitive with the horsepower and the torque, make it reliable. They're towing something daily driving. I wanted to see if you could walk us through, if I walked into Ziegler Diesel Performance right now and I said, hey, I've got an 0559, I want 550 to 600. What kind of questions would you ask me, or what direction would you have me look into, make choices for air, fuel, transmission, maybe valve train stuff, intercooler, things like that? Yeah.
Ultimately, my first question is always, what is done to the truck currently, and what is your end goal, and what do you want to use the truck for? Because those are all going to determine how extensive we get. 550, 600 horse build, let's face it, it's a Dodge, it's going to need a trans. That's the first place we start, because you can make all the power in the world. If you can't, get it through the trans, it did nothing. So we would start with a trans, usually for something, in that neighborhood, we'd use the Firepunk Street Track trans. Works fantastic. I've personally pushed it over 750 horse. It lives in my dad's truck at that power level, and he drives it every day.
What comes in that? I know it has an upgraded flex plate converter. But what kind of billet shafts do we get to on a setup like that?
So that would be a standard size billet input shaft. Billet output shaft. I believe it still has a stock intermediate. It's got Firepunk's valve body, their clutch setup, basically all their stuff from all their good trannies, just not the high dollar shafts.
Gotcha.
So, and it's budget friendly. And like I said, it works fantastic. I've sold a ton of them.
So if I walk in, I've got this, say it's stock, I don't have anything done to it. We're going to look at this Firepunk Street and Track transmission to, really have that good basis to go forward, because I know you're going to add it, air and fuel and things like that. Should I look at a compound turbo setup? Should I look at, a single charger? Let's say I'm not at elevation. I'm not in Colorado or Montana or anything like that, so I'm closer to sea level. What kind of direction are you going to guide me on the turbo?
I mean, if you're only trying to stay in that 550, 600 horse range, that's very easy. You know, a fast lift pump, a fleece cheetah, and some good tuning will put you right in that neighborhood on a good, healthy fuel system. You know, if the fuel system's weak, truck's got a lot of miles, you know, we're going to push you into a set of injectors and a CP3. I mean, I would use like a set of the 43% over Exergy injectors, quote unquote, 100 horsepower injectors. With their 10 mil pump, it'll make that power all day long, and still leave room on the table that if you wanted to grow into a bigger charger setup, you know, get into like an S300 base and start pushing that, you know, 650, 700, you know, 750 mark, you have the fuel system there to do it.
With the motor itself, say like valve springs, head studs, am I going to need to do those as well?
Absolutely. We always recommend if you're upgrading the charger, let's do valve springs, push rods, head studs, cheap insurance.
Yeah, that would definitely, I've seen some of the repair bills for having to take that off, and they're not very nice. So that's how I think of a build like this is, what can I do just at the start to be able to eliminate, you know, having to do something, you know, later on. As far as like the intercooler, and people ask this too, okay, I have this power, there's gonna be more boost going through the tubes, you know, the intercooler clamps. Do I need to look at all that sort of stuff, or is the OEM setup fine for the kind of power and daily driving and towing that I'm gonna be doing with this truck?
The intercooler will be fine, as long as it's not an 05 truck. 05 Dodge put a plastic end tank intercooler in it, and you start going much above the factory boost, it will blow the end tank. I've had it happen countless times. We've got a bunch of 05 trucks running around in that power range. You know, guys will, you know, find a buddy that upgraded that has a 06, 07 truck and buy his intercooler off of him, you know, his factory one, throw it in, no problems. So the stock intercooler, yes, it will be fine at that power level. You start getting beyond, you know, that, I would recommend upgrading the boots and the intercooler just to keep EGTs in check. You know, good intercooler will give you a couple hundred degree EGT drop at peak. Does make a nice difference if the budget allows, one, and two, at that power level, you don't need it.
If I am going to replace it with an aftermarket one, are there certain ones that you guys like there at the shop, or, you know, ones you'd say, hey, pick up, you know, one of these three, just pick whichever you like, but, you know, these three are the ones we've had good experience with?
I've had really good experience with the On3 intercooler. It works fantastic. The price point's right. I have personally put, you know, 80 pounds of boost through them on a street truck, no issues. You know, Banks makes a nice one as well. The Mishimoto ones are pretty decent as well. I mean, there are some good options out there. I know BD makes one that's pretty darn nice. I'm not going to say one manufacturer is better than the other or anything like that. It all depends on the design of the intercooler. Obviously, you know, like the On3, they have, you know, 3.5-inch inlet and outlet, you know, versus the factory 3-inch. You know, the core is like 8.5 inches taller, you know, about an inch thicker. I mean, it is a better intercooler the entire way around. And like I said, the price point's there. I mean, it's not crazy money. You know, like everybody else is in the 1200 range. You know, they're in the 750 range, 800 range.
Now, with the rest of the truck, is there anything else that I would need to do as far as suspension? Any other thing like that for not necessarily daily driving and towing, but if I got 550, 600, I'm sure I'm going to take it to a test and tune sometime and, you know, launch it or just, you know, have a little bit of fun with it. Do I need to look at that as well at that power level?
I always recommend traction bars for guys that are going to, you know, put the truck on the track, whether it be sled pull or drag race or just a hot street truck, they're going to be out there hot dogging it, playing with their friends. It, once again, gets down to that cheap insurance.
I don't want to forget about the manual guys, because I know someone out there's got an NV5600 G56 and they want that 550 to 600. And, you know, for kind of that application, like I said, daily driving, towing, might, you know, maybe have a little bit of fun with it. What kind of recommendations would you make for me to pick a clutch that I can daily drive, but that also is going to handle this extra power?
You know, South Bend and Valair both make fantastic dual disc clutches that will hold that power all day long. Still have excellent street manners, you know, not be chattery or, you know, like buck when you're in reverse, trying to back a trailer up or anything like that. There are some very nice options out there, you know, for that power range. Obviously, if you want to go beyond that, we're going to be looking at, you know, other options. But for that power range, you know, a good street dual disc work fantastic.
So if I was going to recap it, I got an auto. I'm looking at a transmission, something like a Fleece Cheetah, valve trains, like push rods, valve springs, head studs, maybe an intercooler, depending on the year range that I need. So like a fast fuel system, traction bars. I should be pretty set up then for that 550, 600, be happy with it, be able to put some miles on it, you know, and just be good. Now, we kind of went through the way that we should do this. And owning a shop, talking to guys all the time, what are like three or five things that you see people come in and they've did it completely wrong? Like, what is the worst way to try to get 550, 600, maybe even a little bit more on a 5.9?
It seems like everybody wants to jump to that power without doing the supporting mods needed to live there. So guys will throw injectors and pump and turbo at them, but we still have factory lift pump. We still have, you know, factory valve springs, push rods, factory head bolts, you know, and then they're pissed because they blow a head gasket. And it's like, well, if you would have done the supporting mods first, lay the groundwork. It's like building a house. You build the foundation before you build the house. And that's how I preach it to everybody. You know, you got to start at ground level before you start building up.
So that's why you started with the transmission first.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
What are some other things that, you know, that you see that you almost wish you could have either chatted with the person or maybe they just bought the truck? That happens a lot as well. Somebody finds, you know, this quad cab or regular cab, they bring it to you and it's like, they just did it, you know, completely wrong. And you got to have, you know, tell them, hey, we got to go redo this, or this is why it has that problem.
The biggest thing we see, you know, kind of in the day to day is guys buying tuning not from a reputable tuner, somebody that, you know, is just playing around because they got a laptop and a V2 and they think they're a, you know, a tuner. And we'll pull a data log and be like, wow, this explains a lot on why the truck is so smoky, why it doesn't make the power it should, why, you know, why it gets horrible fuel mileage. You know, these are all things that can be avoided if you do a little bit of homework.
Is the fuel economy side something that you've been seeing, you know, like this summer, a lot of potential customers or customers saying, hey, Justin, how do I get better fuel economy in this truck?
We get that pretty much daily. I usually start everybody off right off the rip with Hotshot Secrets, oil, diff fluids, just because I can, and, you know, and fuel additives, because I can show you on paper the legitimate difference that it'll make in fuel mileage, and that's cheap. You know, guys start wanting to look at, you know, gain in fuel economy. Obviously, we know an engine's an air pump. Get the air in more efficiently, get the air out more efficiently, it is going to be more efficient. So we usually look on the intake side, the exhaust side, let this thing breathe, you know, and then we start playing with tuning. I have personally quite a number of the 06, 07, 5.9 trucks that I've tuned here in-house that get 24 miles a gallon on the highway like clockwork every single day. That make nice usable power, you know, in that, you know, low 500 range very easily.
With the fuel additives, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I was just thinking of a comment we had on YouTube, and I don't remember what episode it was on, but somebody said, I don't think additives do anything. There's no way that they can make any improvement. It's just, I'm throwing something in the tank. But I know, one, with the racing that you do, two is having a diesel shop, and three is, you know, working on hundreds of trucks. As you see this kind of data, what would you tell somebody that is skeptical, maybe doesn't have any experience with, you know, say some of the Hotshot products or anything out there that, you know, does things with cetane and lubricity and the kind of real world stuff that you're seeing?
Well, I love the skeptical guys. I actually keep the sample bottles of the EDT like by the case. I talk to Kyle all the time, always ordering cases of it. Because guys that are skeptical, I give them a bottle, say, come see me after you run this tank through. Let me know what you find. Everybody comes back. Everybody buys it. Because it sells itself. You can actually see the mileage gain. And you can hear how much smoother it runs after you run a tank through. Like, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's a no-brainer. You know, the diesel fuel here in the United States sucks compared to what it used to be. You know, there is no lubricity to the fuel. It's very dry. It's not near what it used to be. Yeah. You know, because we're still worried about what we can do emissions wise. And that's where they started, was in the fuel, and pretty much took the life out of the diesel.
Well, I'm sure you see it. I know we're talking about Cummins trucks, but also on the Duramaxes, the Power Strokes, with the CP4s, and how important the conditioning the fuel is for those, you know, those trucks as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, figure like your 6.0 trucks, which seem to be still very popular because they are affordable now. You get the young kids in, you know, that's the first thing we tell them. Let's run a tank through with some Diesel Extreme, give this fuel system a good deep cleaning, put a bottle of Station Eliminator in it, run that through. Let's do an oil change with Hot Shots oil and keep EDT in the tank. And everybody, like, you can, I mean, I have countless videos of watching balance rates on the scanner being just completely off, you know, off the charts both ways. And we run some Station Eliminator through it and some Diesel Extreme, and they're back to within spec. Like, the it proves itself.
I think, you know, as well with maintenance, which is, you know, we're chatting about a little bit with, you know, oil and fuel, is how important is that for your customers, your repeat customers? Are coming in, you know, they're, say I'm dropping off a truck to get this transmission, turbo, all the stuff we chatted about. Are you also setting me up to say, hey, Patrick, I need you to come back in, you know, 5,000 miles or 10, and we need to do this? Like, how important is that to being able to make sure this truck lasts, performs? We're avoiding some of those high dollar avoidable maintenance issues that we can see.
If it comes here and it gets major work done, it gets an oil change. If you're getting a new turbo, you're getting an oil change. No questions about it. Every major turbo manufacturer will tell you that they want that for their warranty. They want an oil change done with, you know, with documentation on install. That is the only oil we use here is Hot Shot Secrets, full synthetic. So it's going to leave with that in it. Everybody that has ever been here for just, we have customers just come in for oil changes that, you know, or want to buy the oil. Everybody rants and raves. I mean, if I do it once, they're a customer for life, because I mean, the oil literally sells itself. And in this day and age, maintenance is key to whether your truck is going to live or it's not, all based on how you treat it. And you got to start with maintenance first.
You probably really see that with the racing program and the kind of extreme power, torque, heat, boost, all the things you're doing, just how crucial it is in that part of diesel performance, where if I'm just driving a truck every day, like, I've got to really pay attention to this stuff. I can't skip my oil changes, transmission service, especially, you know, we're going to throw a new transmission in. Well, I've got to maintain that and my differentials and everything, you know, that goes along with it. Just how important that is to make these things last, because it, you know, it's so hard to find a new truck and the price tag's so huge, and maybe we want a pre-07. Maybe we want something that's a little bit simpler. So how do we keep them running?
Right. I mean, maintenance, like I said, maintenance is absolute key the whole way across the board. No matter what maker model you have, you need to, I mean, that's the easiest way to take care of it, is good quality maintenance.
I know somebody's going to be listening to this and be like, hey, it's great hearing about, you know, you guys chatting about Cummins trucks, but I got a Power Stroke, I got a Duramax, I'm in Ohio. You know, do they work on those? So, you know, what's your guys' specialty there? What, you know, do you guys work on all the big three? Do, like you mentioned, the maintenance, also performance builds, kind of racing things, or what can someone who's listening expect if, you know, they're local to you or want to drive there and get some work done?
Yeah, we work on, you know, on the big three. You know, we've got some fleet customers that, you know, have us work on everything that they own. You know, up to big trucks as well. But yeah, I mean, I bet you 75% of my business is 6.0, 6.4 work.
They're popular. The 6.0s, like you mentioned earlier, there's so many requests we get for episodes to do 6.0s. Cool. And they're cool to chat about because there's so much that's happening, like UCC with KC Turbos and, you know, lots of other competitors. It's a platform that's continuing to progress, and it's really cool to see that. And I was doing another podcast, we're chatting about 6.4s, and we think of it's like, what, a 3-year production run, but there are so many of them out there and so many things that people need. It's like Ford built that many in 3 years, and a decade later there's still this demand for, you know, engines and tons of different things with them.
Oh yeah, the 6.4 platform is still popular. I mean, they're, in my opinion, one of the easiest to get power out of. I mean, a couple of odds and ends and a good tune, and they'll make 600 wheel horse, you know.
Yeah, I was always jealous of that because I didn't have one, but I would see them and I thought, man, I really should have bought one of those. You know, it was just, they're so easy to make power with, and the transmissions were so stout.
Yeah, they make great power until they don't. Yeah, I owned a couple 6.4s, and like I said, I work on 6.4s every day. It can be an expensive platform when you start tearing stuff up.
Once you go through them and you're able to fix them and upgrade them, do they have that element of reliability like we chatted about with the 5.9 once we do some of these things where they're good to go?
Reasonably. Not, I mean, I wouldn't expect it. It's not going to live like a Cummins truck or even like a 6-liter. I mean, you make a 6-liter live if some things are done correctly. The 6.4s, they are problematic. You know, I know guys have got lucky and got 250K without doing anything to them. And I've also had customers in here at 60,000 miles, you know, with cracked pistons. So,
yeah,
you know, there's no good or bad as far as what's going to make it live, what's not.
I think that's why a lot of first time diesel truck owners, when they're searching, you know, for information out there, they focus in on the 5.9 because it's so almost repeatable and predictable how they're going to perform what you do to them.
Yep.
You know, just, you know what to expect if you purchase one and the process to go through to upgrade them or make it into a race truck or just make it last however many hundreds of thousands of miles you want.
No, I would totally agree. You know, the Cummins platform, I mean, we've built so many of them, pretty much every recipe's already wrote down on paper.
Yeah.
And you can make them live, you know what they're going to do every time. And I mean, the Cummins is like the small block Chevy of the diesel world. The parts are way cheaper versus, you know, getting into a Duramax or a Powerstroke. Now you figure you got two less cylinders, so two less of basically everything to buy.
Yeah.
You know, they're a good budget friendly truck, you know, for guys, especially guys wanting to just start out having some fun.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I definitely wanted to do this episode with you. We get a lot of requests to just kind of, you know, specify out that 550, 600, maybe 650 horsepower build because it's so attainable. You can do it without an engine build. Yeah, you're going to spend money on the transmission, but it's so, I don't want to say easy, but we know how to do it. And right. I know there's going to be people that are listening to the podcast and they're going to say, hey, you didn't ask a question that you should have asked Justin, or I'm local to him. I want to know how to do this. What are some great ways where they can, one, see what you're doing with the race truck, two, be able to reach out to the shop, chat with you guys, ask questions about a build, maintenance, something like that, and connect with you?
Try to hit us up on the Ziegler Diesel Performance Facebook page. I monitor it pretty well. I try to get on there every day and answer everybody's questions, and you know, you can hit us with an email at ZieglerDieselPerformance@Hotmail. Call the shop 330-268-9451. Or stop in and see us at 1908 Cleveland Avenue, Southwest, Canton, Ohio.
Awesome, Justin. I appreciate your time today catching up with us from that episode way back in the day till, you know, now and 3,300 horsepower and helping our listeners be able to make a plan for, you know, building their truck. And I encourage them, if they're near you, you know, give you guys a call, you know, schedule something, be able to build the truck that they want, Not just for now, but also the future, like you had mentioned with, you know, air and fuel, is being able to grow with it. So right. I think that's important. And I learned some stuff and you know, I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to kershaw.kiausa.com. You can save 20% on anything site-wide. Just use code DIESEL20, whether you're looking for something for everyday carry, hunting, fishing, outdoors, you know, anything in between. Just enter that code at checkout. You get 20% off, and then, you know, get the order delivered right to you. So we appreciate Kershaw helping our listeners and helping us save some money. Also want to give a shout out to our Patreon supporters. We appreciate what they do for us. Texas Diesel Supply, Wright's Diesel Services, Caleb, Tyler Lowen at 23 Diesel, all of our Patreon supporters, all the 550 plus people in our Discord, our 23,000 plus YouTube subscribers, all of you who listen on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio. We pull so much inspiration, you know, from you guys listening, asking us questions, asking us to have guests. We wouldn't do this podcast without you. So I wanted to thank you all for listening every week. And if you do have suggestions for a show, for a guest, for things that you want to hear about, you know, let us know. You can find us on Instagram at The Diesel Podcast, the same on Facebook, same on YouTube. You can send us an email, info@thedieselpodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.